This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The White House is saying that later today it will release a fully unredacted transcript of a telephone call President Trump had with the Ukrainian president, during which time Trump is alleged to have pressured his Ukrainian counterpart into investigating Joe Biden and his son. It's prompted Democrats to declare a start to formal impeachment proceedings. The Republican ranking member of the House Judiciary Panel, Doug Collins, says he has a message for Democrats.
The House representative is not an arm of the DCCC campaign committee. They need to get to governing instead of attacking this president.
A new Quinnipiac University poll shows Senator Elizabeth Warren with 27% of Democratic voters and independent voters who lean Democratic, while Vice President Joe Biden has 25%. Pollsters say, given the margin of error, that's a tie. And this is USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrin for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Aronson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
A white Dallas police officer who said she thought she was in her apartment when she fatally shot her black neighbor in his apartment last year had no drugs or alcohol in her system at the time, according to a police detective who testified yesterday on day two of Amber Geiger's murder trial. Prosecutors say Geiger should have noticed she was on the wrong floor, and they say she was distracted by a phone and text conversation. Her defense lawyers have argued she fired in self-defense, thinking that she was in her home and that Botham Jean was a burglar. Facebook says it will not fact-check statements made by politicians ahead of the 2020 elections. The social media site saying that it will not send content or ads from politicians to its third-party fact-checking partners. Facebook's vice president of global affairs and communications saying they don't believe it's an appropriate role for Facebook to referee political debates. Find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaruth, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Alaruth Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Fox News says it's sorry after a guest called Swedish teen climate activist Greta Thunberg mentally ill. Conservative commentator Michael Knowles made the comment about the 16-year-old during The Story with Martha McCallum. Another guest and the anchor filling in for McCallum did both take issue with the comment immediately. Thunberg has spoken openly about having Asperger's syndrome. The Federal Communications Commission is now probing Sprint for pocketing millions of dollars in subsidies. Those were subsidies given to help low-income households get both cell phone and broadband services. Estimates say that Sprint might have been taking more than $8 million a month, and it's unclear how long it might have been going on. The Colorado Theater, where a gunman killed 12 people 7 years ago, will not be showing the new Joker movie next week. Family members of five victims sending a letter to Warner Brothers about their concerns and asking the studio to donate to charities that aid victims of gun violence. The 2012 shooting happened during a showing of The Dark Knight Rises, another in the Batman series. This new movie is another take on the Batman villain, and some survivors were afraid it could encourage a potential shooter. Find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Looking for high-speed internet where you live but are out of reach of cable and fiber options? Look no further. High-speed internet is now available in your area. As your local authorized HughesNet retailer, Whole Home Connect makes it easy to get the high-speed internet you need with blazing fast speeds, unlimited data with no hard data limits, with built-in Wi-Fi for as little as $2 a day. Act now and for a limited time, get free standard installation and free equipment with HughesNet from Whole Home Connect. You'll enjoy internet service that lets you do more of everything you want to do online, like shopping, surfing, and staying in touch. Call Whole Home Connect and see for yourself why HughesNet is America's number one choice for satellite internet.
800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. That's 800-696-6902.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Six minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Gene McGuire is back with us. It's been a couple of years since we've talked, and it's good to have him back. We're talking about his book, Unshackled, From Ruin to Redemption. Gene, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am doing wonderful, Bill. It's good to be with you guys and your radio audience.
Well, your story is an incredible story. You received a life sentence for a murder that you didn't commit, and serving that life sentence, you found life, the inner book jacket says. No one would have imagined such an outcome when, as a 17-year-old, you were convicted of second-degree murder and heard the judge speak those ominous words for the rest of your natural life. I mean, you're 17 years old. I mean, what? I mean, to hear that sentence, I mean, that's probably something that you had to sit and probably chew on for a while, but the immediate shock of it had to just numb you.
It did, and then there's also denial of it. You know, I mean, my attorney had counseled me that if I pled guilty, I could be out in 10 years, 10, 12 years. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, you know, even though they said life, in my mind, I still had a 10 or 12 year range, but that wasn't true at all. When, you know, the rude awakening was when I got sentenced the day before my 18th birthday, and the next day they transported me to a big correctional institution, Camp Hill, where I started my adult time out of juvenile, and I met other men doing life without parole, and I quickly learned that life meant life, and I would die in prison, which caused me to call my attorney back, and he did not want to do anything, and about 15 minutes later, kind of hung up the phone in defeat, and I just said, well, I'll just do my time, and so that was kind of the thought of that in my mind when I got sentenced. It was like life, but I still had that 10-year idea in my head,
right,
which wasn't true. You know?
Well, but still, I mean, you're what? You were a sophomore in high school.
I was just finishing my sophomore year in high school, and you don't even comprehend it. I mean, it's from the language to everything that goes on in the courtroom. It's just way over your head. I realized that, you know, you kind of shut down, or you just kind of go with the flow. Or when you have to answer a question, you look to your attorney, and then he'll, like, you know, so, you know, he preps you, but he'll just, like, nod his head or no or yes. And you kind of follow, you know, the direction of other people who are more experienced.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gene, as you're going through this ordeal, I mean, you're leaning on your attorney, but what was the situation at home with your parents?
My mom, she was a functioning alcoholic. She could literally drink 3-6 packs a day or more.
Wow.
I lived in a home where, I ate, my clothes were clean, but it was definitely an alcoholic home, and nobody was communicating. Communication wasn't something that was going on. And so through that process, I remember I still can see my mother's face, you know, how distraught and worried and so downcast whenever I got to see her in for the hearings we had. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have any guidance from home or anybody else. So I really just, everything was through my public defender.
Right, through your court-appointed public defender.
Yes.
Which, what does he know about Gene McGuire, a sophomore in high school, other than you're the next case, right?
Yes, and I was his, I believe I was his first homicide case.
Oh, wow.
That he had, and so...
So, Gene, what happened? I mean, the second-degree murder that you were convicted of that you didn't commit. Explain what happened.
So years went by as far as my release?
No, about, you know, the conviction itself.
Okay.
That you were convicted of a murder you didn't commit.
Oh, yes.
So tell us the story. What happened?
I had a cousin visiting from Jersey. I lived in northeast Pennsylvania, and my mm-hmm. favorite cousin.
Yes.
24 years old, and so he was visiting, and we were drinking. And, you know, drinking wasn't acceptable behavior in my house, so we're all drinking, playing cards. Parents went to bed, and my cousin decided he wanted to shoot pool, like 11:30, and I said, I want to go. And but an older stepbrother, he drove us there, and my parents said, no, you're too young, you can't go. So we sweet-talked my mom out the door, and my cousin says, we'll be back, you'll be all right, you're going to be here, Barry. So we out the door, 20 minutes, having fun, drinking shots, beers, and I was getting served at the bar. There was no one in the bar. My mm-hmm. cousin turned, I'm going to rob this place. And when he said it, you know, I knew what he was, I knew that, I mean, but I knew that wasn't what I would have done or wanted right. to do. And my stepbrother and I, we decided, hey, if you could do it yourself, and we'll leave, we'll park the car down the street and walk back up and rob the bar. And so he did, and I walked back up behind him and stood in the parking lot and waited for him. And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking he's going to come running out with some money, and he never did. I heard some banging. We walked up, my stepfather and I, we walked up to the front of the bar, opened the door, and he had murdered the owner.
So
he stabbed the owner to death behind the bar, behind the counter. And
right.
We could see him going crazy, and we yelled to him to stop. And of course, he didn't, and we waited, and then I went in and found some money and took off. My stepbrother, he left, and apparently he had called the police, and then I left with my cousin to New York mm-hmm. City,
right.
where we walked the streets for a day or two until I turned myself in. And then my cousin, he turned himself in about 2 weeks later. And, you know, I gave him my statement, and then they arrested me and charged me with murder, conspiracy to commit murder. As part of that robbery,
mm-hmm.
And then my cousin, he turned himself in and said it was his idea that I really didn't, I did not know that he was going to do that until mm-hmm. the process. So, so going through the whole process, of course, you know, my attorney pretty much, like within 90 days of my arrest, I already entered the plea of guilty. So, which is unheard of, really, that mm-hmm. someone would counsel that quickly.
Right.
But he just didn't seem like there was anything he could do for me. And so he said, if you plead guilty, you can be out in 10 years on good behavior. So that was my thought. You know, I couldn't even really comprehend 10 years being 17.
Right.
I couldn't even comprehend 27.
But even through your mind, as much as you could comprehend, Gene, as a sophomore in high school, you're complicit in this murder. Though a second degree murder, you weren't the one that actually committed the murder, but you are complicit, and so the guilt of that probably, you know, what hope and possibility could you possibly imagine other than you were going to be subject to the justice system?
Well, I really felt guilty. I know I did commit the homicide. It wasn't my intent. But yet I felt so guilty because even it kind of set in a little bit later, but I felt so guilty that I could have said no, I could have run, I could have turned and left, say, hey, you guys, I'm out of here, which I didn't. And I always, over the years, I thought, you know, why didn't I do those? You know, you look back, hindsight is 2020, but So I you know, my thoughts were that I was with my cousin, my favorite cousin, who I looked up to him. He treated my family like gold. He was always there for my mother whenever my mother needed anything.
We're talking with Gene McGuire. We got to go to a quick break. We're talking about his book, Unshackled. More from Gene after this. Stay with us.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
His reputation is expanding faster than the universe. He once had an awkward moment just to see how it feels. He lives vicariously through himself. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay listening, my friend. Phil Martinez Live.
fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Our conversation with Gene McGuire continues, his book Unshackled, From Ruin to Redemption. He was giving us a rundown as to what had happened on that fateful night that put into motion what was supposed to be a life sentence for him for participating in a murder, and he was convicted of second-degree murder, a murder that he did not commit, but yet he was, I guess they would say you're an accomplice, right?
Yeah, so it would be considered like a felony homicide, so in the act of a felony or murder is committed, so it's kind of a I don't know where, how many states, but Pennsylvania has like a felony homicide type thing. So, as a conspiracy, yeah.
Right. So, Gene. Okay. So, we know what happens. You're in jail for life. You call your attorney going, wait a minute, this is not what you explained to me. Life is life. So now, so in your mind, you just settle in and say, okay, I've got to just live this one day at a time, right?
Yeah. There was one option for life sentence inmates in Pennsylvania. It was a commutation process through the Board of Pardon, and then eventually, you know, through the governor. And it was about 12, 13, 14 years in your life sentence, you could apply for a commutation, which is not a legal matter. It's a plea of mercy. Detail your crime. What have you done since prison? What do you do when you get out? Why do you feel you deserve a commuting of your sentence? Because you're asking the Board of Pardons to make your sentence from life in prison to life on parole.
Right.
And it was viable. There were inmates being released, after 15, 20 years. So when I came in, it was a viable way of earning your way out of prison, if you could say that. Obviously, over the years, the door shut more and more, with politicians and so... It really wasn't viable. But that was early on, so I said I'll just work toward that. And so went to school, GED, did some college work, programs, drug and alcohol counseling, stress and anger counseling, 101 with psychologists. Just trying to figure out my life, how I ended up. All my friends went on to college and they played football or they got married. So I had a lot of high school friends for many years stay closed, and then, of course, they have their own lives, and life moves on. So,
when did it turn for you, Gene? What happened?
As far as my life,
you're in prison. You're settling in. You're going to school. You're trying to demonstrate to the parole board that you're prepared. You've prepared yourself to be a better citizen.
About 6 years into my sentence, I write about in the book and I share a lot around the country. It just got old, the same routine of getting up, and it's a very controlled, routine, a mundane atmosphere type thing. And I just kind of turned inward, woe is me, and feel sorry for me, and I pushed everybody away, and then I started looking for something to mask, the shame and guilt of being in prison, because I never felt like prison was the place to be. I knew I was there, so I started found access to prescription medication, turned to meth, turned to cocaine, weed.
While you're in prison?
Yes.
Wow.
I connected with some people who had connections. So for about 2 years, we did a lot of drugs and just partied. We call it partying now, but. And I knew how to act. I knew how to dress. I knew how to report to work. I knew how to obey the rules. And I lived a chameleon life. And I kept everything real quiet. And about 9.5 years into my sentence, the person who was, bringing the drugs in, trying to video, got arrested and busted. And so there wasn't anything going on. But at the same time, the community which I didn't realize until afterwards, the community of Camp Hill and surrounding towns, they had organized a revival at the prison. And so many churches had gotten together and they began praying for the prison, and they set up a three-day revival in 1986. It was called the Invasion 86 through, I believe, Chuck Colson's fellowship, part of that.
Right.
They came in on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and the men from the community were allowed to literally walk the compound. They were allowed to walk on cell blocks. They were allowed to go into the gym, out in the yard. They were allowed to go eat with us. And, you know, they wore the feathers and the wristbands.
Mm-hmm.
The guys from the community, they just told us about the Lord and their relationship with the Lord. And, like, one guy kept coming up to me and said, "Hey, I was an alcoholic, and Jesus set me free." And I was like, "That's cool, you know." And
now, had you had any religious influence throughout your upbringing whatsoever?
When I was, you know, when my parents were still married, we'd go to Catholic church, and then when they divorced, I was about six. We stopped going.
Mm-hmm.
My mother moved away, and she tried to get us into some Bible studies and stuff like that, but she would drop us off. They would put us in the front door. My brother and I would go out the back door, you know, and so we never stayed. And so, no, other than, you know, the church, I knew Jesus in the sense of his name, but I didn't know him personally.
Right.
And I didn't have a relationship with the Lord, no.
So you're there, this revival's taking place, the guy comes to you and says, "Look, I've been delivered," and so a seed is planted. We've got about 3 minutes left here, so I want to make sure we have enough time to tell your story. So then what happens at this point?
There was a man who came up to me and said, I'm a Christian, and I knew Jesus since I was 4 years old. And I said, "You know Jesus since 4? He said, "Yeah, I knew God called me to be a missionary at 5. And he said his name is Larry Titus, the pastor from down the street. So I said, "Wow, you know," it just kind of blew me away. And what I felt was like I wasn't where I was supposed to be in life.
Mm-hmm.
When a four-year-old could have a relationship with the Lord, and I'm 26 years old and 9 years in on life sentence. So I went through the service Saturday night. I went back again Sunday morning. And at the last part of the service, I went up front. And I just got on my knees in front of everybody. I was just, not that I was aware of everybody, but I just got on my knees and they led me through a sinner prayer. And I just asked Jesus to come into my life. And it just radically changed my value system. It changed my direction. And I just started living for the Lord after that.
So it was immediate, huh, Gene?
It really was. Uh-huh. I mean, if you ask some of my friends, they were like, "What happened to you? Did you get brainwashed?" And I was like, "All I know is that I accepted the Lord today, and I feel different. I want to, you know, I just, there was just a love for people, and I just knew just a boundless depth of forgiveness from the Lord on my life. And
yeah.
So it just altered, you know, my value system and the way I treated people.
So how did you get out of prison? What happened?
I was I was denied 5 times over the years. So 20 some years go by. There was a that was the commutation process. In 2010, May 2010, Supreme Court had a ruling on Graham versus Florida, which was a case dealing with a juvenile who was sentenced to life without parole, who did not kill, who did not intend to kill, and did not know it. And so they changed the sentence. Well, the Supreme Court had that ruling. It opened the door for other juveniles who did not kill, who did not intend to kill, or did not know. And I fit that category.
Right.
Which opened the door. And, of course, it got me to court. But what got me released was the mistakes that were on my case, that I was sentenced illegally. I had an unconstitutional sentence that my attorney lied to me. Which
unbelievable. Wow.
A couple years later. So, in April 3rd, 2012, the judge vacated my sentence and resentenced me to time served and released me that day.
Well, Gene, I hope to have you back. We need to get more in depth. It would be it'd be an honor to hear more of your story. Thank you for your time. God bless you. And I look forward to talking to you again. Gene McGuire, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Gene.
Dan Perkins here with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. Did you know that perhaps as many as 50,000 disabled veterans have student loan debt? Are you one of them? Did you know that the President has issued an order not only to forgive the debt, but wants to make it easier and quicker and get it done now? So here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. If you are disabled and you went to college, first of all, you are my hero. If you have been struggling with making the loan payments, you might be eligible to have your loans be forgiven, and there will be no federal income tax liability for the forgiven loan amounts. Contact your local VA center or go to va.gov for more information on how you can get this student loan paid in full. You had the courage to get an education. Paying off your loans is just another way for us to say thank you for your service. This has been Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The White House is saying that later today it will release a fully unredacted transcript of a telephone call President Trump had with the Ukrainian president, during which time Trump is alleged to have pressured his Ukrainian counterpart into investigating Joe Biden and his son. It's prompted Democrats to declare a start to formal impeachment proceedings. The Republican ranking member of the House Judiciary Panel, Doug Collins, says he has a message for Democrats.
The House representative is not an arm of the DCCC campaign committee. They need to get to governing instead of attacking this president.
A new Quinnipiac University poll shows Senator Elizabeth Warren with 27% of Democratic voters and independent voters who lean Democratic, while Vice President Joe Biden has 25%. Pollsters say, given the margin of error, that's a tie. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. That's where all the information is. You know, just about anywhere you go these days, you're going to find a lot of people with their heads down looking at a cell phone. In fact, I don't know if you caught that viral video. I think it was about a year ago or so where, I think it was in Japan. The gal was so focused on her phone, she ended up walking into a manhole. I know people laughed. They couldn't believe it. But, my goodness, I kept thinking, what kind of injury did this person sustain? Thank God, she was okay. But I'm sure quite embarrassed. So, much has been written about social issues of mobile technology. And we've seen the viral videos, as I just mentioned. But now a new independent study looks at how cell phones can be a dangerous workplace distraction and how most businesses lack an effective policy for cell phone use while at work. Joining us today is True Software CEO Joe Boyle, here to discuss the study about this critical safety issue in a public workplace distraction webinar, which is coming up on September the 24th. Joe, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, this study is really important. Some people are getting injured on the job because they're just not being focused correctly and, all this distraction. So tell us about this distraction study, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you hit the nail right on the head. There are, unfortunately, a lot of accidents that happen as the result of people being distracted by their mobile technology. And so, we commissioned a study with Forrester Consulting to understand, I think everybody, there's good stats around the impacts, but what we really wanted to understand was the attitudes of people in the workplace to see, how open, how concerned they were about these these issues and how open they were to solving them. And frankly, we were really impressed with some of the stats. Look, this is an issue that needs to be solved. You know, you talk about that young woman falling down the manhole, but there are 100 work-related accidents every hour of every day caused by somebody looking at a mobile device when they shouldn't be.
Yeah, Joe, is some of this the culture of the workplace itself that, you know, there's just so much work, not enough time, and you get beholden, you know, to that cell phone because there's inter-office emails or notices and all that sort of thing. So then, you know, we're reacting to that device, and it's a constant reminder that, hey, we're on the clock.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, and it really is a balance of both work and, you know, we talk about work-life balance. Sometimes work-life balance works in the wrong direction. Some of the challenges that people are facing is that, number one, in today's world, everybody has a mobile device or more. Number two, that mobile device is never, you know, more than inches out of eyesight, and, you know, in any given minute, we'll look at our device twice. Now, some of that is about the things that we have to do at work. Some of that is about the things, you know, from our personal life that come into play. And if you think about it like this, 30 years ago, if somebody were away from the desk, they'd get a note that said they missed a call. Maybe they'd get 1,000 of those a year.
Right.
Then that turned into voicemail. The number of messages grew to 4,000 a year. Now, with all the communication possibilities, text, Skype, instant message, we now get over 30,000 communications a year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we're constantly drawn back into that device, and the thing that's supposed to make us more productive is beginning to take a toll in the opposite direction and make us far less productive.
And I think what you suggested is maybe the people are kind of seeing this themselves. I say the people, the workers. I mean, we're all beholden to this device, and we're going, wait a minute, time out. Is there a way to take a break? Because we're bombarded, whether it's with telephone notifications, emails. I mean, Joe, I can tell you, when I'm away from, I hate to get away from my office or too far away from my device, because I know when I come back, I'm going to have at least 300 emails that I've got to deal with. I spend so much time just deleting emails.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. One of the things that we found very interesting in the study is that more than two-thirds of employees say their mobile device usage distracts them from doing their work. The average worker admits that over five hours of every week goes to using their mobile device to do things that aren't work-related.
Work-related, yeah, and, wow.
Yeah, and it becomes a compounding effect. You're in the office from 9 to 5. If an hour out of every day you're distracted with your mobile device, the work still needs to get done. So where does the work get done? It gets done at home at 10 o'clock at night. When you come in the next day, you don't feel like you've had a work-life balance. You're exhausted. Your productivity continues to drop, and it's a bit of a vicious cycle. What we found really great coming out of the survey, and frankly it was a bit surprising to us, is that there's actually alignment between management and workers all saying that, hey, this is a problem, something needs to be done, and workers are actually calling out and saying, this is a problem, but I can't break this habit, and I sure would love it if my organization would do something to help make the device usage policies at work more effective, to make them enforceable, which we think is a great, great outcome.
So we're going to have intervention. Hi, my name is Joe Boyle. It's been 3 days, 2 hours, 22 minutes since I last connected with my mobile phone or something. I mean, surely I jest, but obviously management sees it as a problem. The workers are seeing this as a problem. So what do we do?
You characterize it absolutely right. We are dealing with an addiction issue. This is an issue of addiction, and all studies and all results would indicate that people are not effective in managing device usage on their own. And so, you know, what we believe is that there's a simple sort of three-step approach to bringing effective policy management into the workplace with mobile devices. And it begins with first recognizing that you can't have a one-size-fits-all approach. You can't just lock down the device and not allow people to, you know, watch YouTube videos when they're at home on a Tuesday. But you do need a policy that stops them from doing that at their desk, and you absolutely need a policy that stops them from doing it behind the wheel of a vehicle, right?
So without a doubt.
Thinking about it in terms of situations. that policy to life. You've got to have a platform that can actually enforce your policies on those devices. Because, look, 60% of employees say that although their organization has a policy that says how they can use their device, they ignore that policy when it doesn't meet their desires. So you've got to have an enforceable technology that really brings that policy to life. And then you've got to have consistent enforcement of those policies with consequences for noncompliance and recognition of safe and focused behavior. And that's really what we help our customers to do here at True Software.
Well, Joe, I got to imagine the legal beagles are looking at this thing and saying, whoa, can we hold the companies liable because this happens to be a company phone and somebody is texting while driving, even though it's maybe to work or from work? Is that organization going to be liable?
Right, it's it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a major issue, and the instances of lawsuits stemming from distracted driving are continually on the rise, and the outcomes and verdicts of those issues continue to rise. So it's,
well, they'll go to deep pockets all the time. Yeah, without a doubt. We gotta wrap it up here, Joe Boyle, and I really appreciate this information. This is something for all of us to do more than think about. We've got to take action. So where can we go for more information, Joe?
We agree entirely. The best place to go is our website. It is trucesoftware.com. TRUCE software.com. You can learn more about what we're doing. You can also register for the upcoming webinar that you highlighted earlier that we're holding on the 24th, which really delves into the tug of war between device usage and productivity. So we
excellent information, Joe. Appreciate your time. CEO Joe Boyle, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Joe. Have a great day.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
You've heard it said, you don't know what you've been missing. Well, when it comes to nutritional components in your diet, maybe you need to know what you've been missing, especially if you want to feel good, not miss work, and get the most of each day. Then you need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mothers, helps our body recognize when we're under attack, and fights all those nasty microbes that we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstreams. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I got to tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have, like, cold toes in the wintertime, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Let me ask you, is your community spiritually thirsty? Are you ready to reach it in a fresh way, maybe? Well, Liquid Church tells the fascinating story of a New Jersey church that began on accident and grew into one of America's 100 fastest growing churches. Tim Lucas is with us, the founder and the lead pastor of Liquid Church. It is a multi-state church out of New Jersey with thousands in attendance, and his new book that he wrote with Warren Bird is titled Liquid Church, Six Powerful Currents to Saturate Your City for Christ. Tim, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Bill. Great to be with you and the team.
Okay, well, let's talk about this. It all got started by accident, so to speak. We know that God doesn't do accidents, but we'll just go along with that theory right now. And so what happened?
Yeah, so we're right here in New Jersey. We're right outside of Manhattan, about a half hour outside of Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think a lot of people see the Northeast as a spiritually dry place. And so the name of our church is Liquid Church. Now, let's be honest, it's kind of a strange name. You know, I think mm-hmm. people hear the name Liquid and they assume we're either a cult or a drinking fraternity.
Right, right. Well, it's fit for the times. I mean, everything is so fluid these days. So, you know, why not Liquid, right?
That's right. So, okay. Well, we named it Liquid for a simple reason. You know, Jesus calls himself the living water. So we actually mm-hmm. think church should be refreshing.
Right.
And what we have found is a lot of millennials and Gen Z, particularly the next generation, you know, I'd say spiritually thirsty people. But what I mean by that is they may have given up on traditional church, but they haven't given up on God.
Mm, yes.
They just want to know that their faith transcends Sunday morning. Their faith has to have teeth. It has to have feet. So that transfers into Monday morning, whether they're at work or school or going to the gym. They want a faith that is going to make a difference in the world for the cause of not just Christ, but actually for our cities, the communities that we're pleased to have a presence in.
Well, Pastor, I think that people ultimately want to be involved with something that is productive. I mean, if you're just going to church on Sunday and you forget about it on Monday and then until you come back Sunday again, you start to wonder, well, you know, maybe staying home and watching football trumps church.
Exactly, yeah. You know, now, the blessing is we have the Jets here, so nobody wants to watch football on Sunday, so we don't have any competition.
That's right.
But I'll give you an example, Bill. It's funny. I think one of the things that God does is he says, look around. What is dry? What is broken in your city or community that needs healing? So for us in New Jersey, for instance, mm-hmm. we have the largest population of special needs families in the nation.
Wow.
You know, we talk about kids with autism, which we have a very large population at our church of families who have a loved one with autism. Nationally, it's 1 in 59 mm-hmm. Children on the spectrum. In New Jersey, it's 1 in 38.
Wow. Wow.
And so, you know, people debate all the reasons for that. They say, oh, is it the environment, you know, chemicals? Or is it because New Jersey has very robust, you know, education and support and social services? And we don't question the politics of it. We just say, hey, incredible opportunity to serve
exactly.
family.
You got people with a need. Let's fill the need, right?
Yeah. So mm-hmm. now watch this. This is the cool part. So we had one, you know, autistic boy who actually was nonverbal. And his mom said, you know, we can do better than just babysitting on Sundays because, honestly, not only are, you know, fewer and fewer people going to church, well, it's not even an option for a lot of families with special needs.
Right.
Because they say it's overwhelming. They don't have the capacity. So we said, could we do better? Could we actually have one-on-one buddies or trained caregivers? Well, our millennials stepped up to the plate. We now have over 1,000 families who we serve on a regular basis every Sunday, and they are bringing word of mouth to our church, kids all along, whether it's Asperger's, ADHD, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy. It's the fastest growing population because the culture is thirsty for that.
Right.
No strings attached compassion where, you know, the government isn't the answer, you know, more, you know, taxes aren't the answer. It's like, hey, the church has an opportunity here. Let's step up and be a liquid church.
Exactly. And, of course, speaking of the government can only do so much in other services. And, you know, if the church is going to fill the void, I mean, who's going to give you a bad time for doing that, right?
Yeah, and I think most churches have a heart to do that. They just don't know where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you read in the news a lot about the rise of the religious nuns, N-O-N-E-S. They're kind of none of the above. They don't
right.
identify anymore.
Right.
What we have found is that millennials and Gen Z, it's not so. They want to get involved, but they want to have their life to be connected to a purpose than them. I'm very bullish, actually, about millennials. I think they're going to be world changers. They are changing the world, but they are led by vision. They want their faith to have feet and make a practical way to use it. So for us, locally, that happens to be special needs. But globally, Liquid Church has a passion. We bring clean drinking water to some of the poorest people on the planet. And again, this all started organically. That's why I say we're the accidental church plant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we, about 7 years ago, we learned that, hey, we could bring a clean water well to Ethiopia for $5,000. And, you know, we were barely surviving at the time.
Right.
It was incredible. As one man said, you know what? I was going to buy a Harley Davidson Softail, but I'm giving my down payment to do this well.
Wow, that's
well, that
so cool.
Kind of it sparked this, you know, outburst of generosity. And we now have sent clean water teams, over 400 people, to do 280 clean water wells, bring clean drinking water to 100,000 people in sub-Saharan Africa.
You know, Tim, most people would not understand what clean water means to these villages and these people and what an incredible difference that makes. I mean, for people that have lived in squalid conditions, you know, the kind of diseases that they've been, that's been part of their life and culture forever. And then here comes some people in the name of Jesus and says, look, at, hey, we're going to provide you with clean water. The impact that that has on a local community is phenomenal. And unless you see that and witness it firsthand, you don't know what that means. And I've seen this happen. And so I congratulate you and your team for putting this together because, let's face it, water is the foundation. And when you have clean water, I mean, that's life-changing for a village.
Yeah, we just got back from Rwanda, and they have a saying there, water is life.
Yes, exactly.
It is the most foundational thing. And so what's fascinating is the millennials, they don't just want to write a check. They want to just give. They want to go. They want
exactly.
to get their hands dirty.
Well, of
and
course.
So we actually bought a drill rig, gifted it to the people of Rwanda because we're not the heroes. Mm-hmm. We're just coming alongside of them. I mean, they're recovering from a genocide, you know, right outside of
exactly.
Kigali there.
Yeah.
But if we can come alongside and give a little bit of you know, muscle and manpower, but make it sustainable so that actually they're, the nationals there are doing the transformation work in the country. It changes health. It changes education. Kids aren't, you know, getting sick anymore. They're in school more. Women are on the, you know, water committee in the local villages. Maybe the first time they've seen, you know, female leadership in a patriarchal culture. Water changes everything. And so for us as a local church, we have a global expression of the compassion of Jesus, but it really is bringing healing to the nation.
Tim, you address in your book six ministry currents that catapulted your church to success. Certainly what we're talking about, water, is one of them. What else do you want to give understanding to our audience of what you're doing?
Sure. I think, you know, one of the currents that we talk about is creative communication. And that is, you know, we live in a TGIF world, Twitter, Google, Instagram, Facebook. And so, you know, a lot of organizations are wrestling. How do we engage a generation who was raised on screen? And, you know, they say, well, they have the attention span of a bumblebee, you know. And so for us, you know, kind of in church world, it's like, well, you know, pastor's like, well, I guess we have to water it down or dumb it down. Or maybe the sermons can only, you know, 40 characters in a tweet, you know, so they got to be shorter. We're actually finding just the opposite. We can go longer. Millennials want us to go deeper. But you have to engage different styles of learning. So it's an interesting moment in the church, particularly because we have five generations in the church. That's really never happened in modern history. You've got builders, you've got boomers, Gen X, and then you have the millennials and Gen Z.
Wow.
And so what we do is we are using a lot of media. So that my messages will include, you know, video clips that may include an online social media poll that we do live in the service. We're broadcasting it, streaming it over the internet live. Last week I got an email from a guy actually in a nuclear submarine. He wouldn't disclose where he was, but he said, you brought church to me. I'm 1,000 leagues under the sea.
Wow. Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean,
well, we know what happens to submariners. If they take pictures in the wrong place, they can get themselves in a lot of trouble. So he can be saved, but that's a great testimony that there you are, all these leagues under the sea, taking the gospel message. That's awesome.
Yeah. So those are, you know, I think it's exciting times. Again, you know, I think there's a lot of headlines in the news that make people, you know, worry, fill them with a lot of anxiety. What's the future of, you know, the church and our institutions? But I think the best is yet to come. I think this is a moment for the church to stand up and say, you know what, it's going to may look a little bit different. We may take a more fluid approach to faith, right. Hence Liquid Church. But if we'll do the hard work of empowering the next generation, giving them leadership skills, so that's another current. Which is really developing the talents and the gifts of the next generation. I think we're going to see revival, hopefully, not just on the East Coast, but across our nation.
Well, you know, and I would agree particularly with, you know, the leadership culture. A lot of people get involved with church, and I've often suggested to pastors that you need to inventory the people and their talents and giftings, because one thing that will frustrate people right away is if they have a gift and talent that's not being exercised and they perceive that they could be of value to the church, and if the church doesn't respond, they'll exit. You know, because they're just, it's not satisfying to them. So, Tim Lucas, you know, Pastor, really appreciate it. This is awesome. And what you guys are doing, all the best to you. Just pray that God's grace and mercy would continue to flow to you and out of you as you've continued to do. That's awesome.
Thanks so much, Bill. It's a joy to be with you, my friend. Thank you for your voice and your thought leadership, brother.
You take care. God bless.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
Hunters and